We're gathered tonight to give kavod to the Mashgiach of Likud, Rav Matatyahu Salman. First of all, there's the kavod haTorah, which he deserves, and which the Torah says we're mechuyev to give him. Secondly, the Gemara says some very intriguing things about someone who's by the hesped of an Adam Gadol. And the Gemara says, anyone who was by the hesped of Rabbeinu HaKadosh is mezumen l'chayei olam haba. Automatically he gets olam haba. And the only way that we really can get hadracha from Gedolei Yisrael, that we didn't have any personal connection with, and we didn't have any personal thing to do with them, is only by emulating their ways, listening to what they have taught us, learning from their ma'asim. And if we don't know their ma'asim, then this was an opportunity that we could have learned, and we didn't, and it hurts us. It snarls us. We could have become better Yidden, and we didn't use the opportunity. The Chacham, I'm going to give an example. The Mashgiach, Rav Matatyahu, had a nephew who learned in the yeshiva in Mir. He left England and went to go to the Mir earlier, before this man, because he wanted to look around a little bit, do some tiyulim in Eretz Yisrael, because once this man started, this bacha, was into learning, and he didn't want to waste any, and there was no other time. So he went, I'm not sure exactly what day of the week it was, Tuesday, and he asked some of his other friends who had also done the same thing. They didn't want to waste any time during this run. If it will come to him, go to a teal. And they said no. On Wednesday, he asked them again. They said no. Then it was coming the end of the week. Came Friday, he got up early in the morning because he had to come back before Shabbos. And he left early to Midbar Yehuda. He told his friends, if they asked him if they want to come with him, they said no. He said he's going himself. Came Friday night, he wasn't back. So they thought maybe wherever he went, Well, that part of Midbar Yehuda wasn't so close, so he went some other place. Motzei Shabbos, he wasn't back either. So people started getting worried. So they were afraid that maybe something happened to him. Actually, something did happen to him. And they had these search committees going out to Midbar Yehuda, and they got some of the Arabs who tracked him down. And Nebuch was Nifta. So they held, they're going to make a spade of him and bury him. So some of his friends went to Rav Matisyahu and told him, you know, that this Bacha who was Nifta, he was an unbelievable Bacha. He said, I'm his roommate. And he was so careful, he never made any noise at night. He tiptoed into his room. He didn't put the light on, not to disturb my sleep. The other one came along and said, I'm his Chabrusa. And when we learned, and there was no battling, there was no wasting any time, we were into it. He was unbelievable. Okay. And other of his friends came along and said a big shvachim about him. So Matasio got up and he said, all his friends said these beautiful things about him. Why is it that no one ever said anything about him when he was alive? They had to wait until he died before they could say something good about him? If you have something good to say about something, about someone, tell him. You don't know how, if sometimes a good word can do such wonderful things for him. Do we have to wait? Does a husband have to wait for his wife to die before he can say something nice about her husband? Something nice about her? Can't we be nice to people and be appreciative of them and tell them that we appreciate them and be machazek them in their good ways while they're alive? I'm just bringing this as a mashal. So this is something, when I heard about it, it meant something to me. I thought, he's right. And we should, if we have something good to say about someone, we should say it. We shouldn't have to wait until it's not that useful anymore. So this is part, besides the Kavod HaTorah which is involved, for ourselves, we should be here just to get to a higher madrega of how a yid should live. From him, from what he said, from what he did, from what he was a powerhouse to stop the internet and things like that. So we have the son-in-law, Rav Moshe Yehuda Halperin, he who is menahel is the menahel of the Erez Chaya Woodlake Yeshiva, and we will hear some words from him. Thank you.
Shus, the Rav Shlita, Chol HaKol HaKadosh Hazeh. If I remember correctly, I believe that my Shver Zecheinu Levracha felt quite a close connection in Baltimore. And I hope, Siyata Deshmaya, we could say some things which we could all learn from, that will bring Ilu Neshama. To continue on the Derech that the Rav mentioned, we find when Yeshua Ben Nun was Nefter, the Gemara in Shabbos says that there was a Kpeda on Klal Yisrael, that they were Mesasol Behespeda Shel Chacham. They didn't say a proper hesped. And that misses, it's a wonder, because if you look in the same pasuk, that the Gemara darshins that, Rashi and Sefer Yeshua brings down, that they established on the Matzev of Yeshua Ben Nun, the picture of Achama, the picture of the sun. Kaloimar, Zeh Shehem et Chama. To demonstrate and to show to everybody that Yeshua Ben Nun managed to stop the Chama. He went against the nature, he went against the Teva, and he stopped the Chama. And Rashi says that every person who walked by the Masev of Yeshua Ben Nun stopped and said, wow, here lies a person who managed to stop the Chama. And the question is, why is this considered that they were Mesatzel in the Hesped of Yeshua Ben Nun? The Chaya Meridiga Hesped, every person stopped and wondered on the godless of Yeshua Ben Nun. And the Teretz is partial, like the Rav mentioned, that the Tachlis of a Hesped, the purpose of being Masped and Adam Gadol, besides the Kavod of bringing out what Madregas, the Adam Gadol, managed to achieve and to reach. But the Tachlis is that we should learn from it things that we could all take from, and that we could also grow in our Avodas Hashem. So I'll try to mention a few Nakudas. It's impossible to encompass everything. The Ebishter benched him with such tremendous Kaiches. He was able to uplift the entire generation, mamish, all over the world. I was by a doctor this morning in the New Jersey area, from a doctor, and when I told him that I was a son-in-law of the Mashgiach, he started crying. And he told me that I was standing outside by the Levaya, and I felt that this is a Levaya that every person standing here could get up and say some sort of a hesped. Every person felt some sort of connection, directly or indirectly, an unbelievable kayach that the Eibishter gave him, that he touched so many thousands and thousands of people. He had a kayach of just with a little word, with a little comment, with a smile, he warmed up the hearts of so many people. One of the people who would come to the house very often told me recently a story that he was in the house one Erev Shabbos, and my shver told him he needs to go to the dentist. His tooth is hurting. So it was an uncommon thing. Friday afternoon, he should go to the dentist. So he said to him, is the pain like unbearable? And he said, no, I can manage the pain. But do you know, Friday night, after davening in Lakewood Yeshiva, the minigas, everybody goes by to say good Shabbos to the Rosh Yeshivas and the Mashgiach. And you know how many people get chizuk from my smile? And because I have a toothache, my cheek is swollen, I can't smile properly. He wanted to fix his toothache, that he should be able to be machazik people. That tremendous koyach that the Eibishter gave him. We don't know the drachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but perhaps if we try to learn from things that he did to understand why he was zeicha to be this shliach, to be able to be machazik so many people. The Ashkocha landed that he was nifta parasha Shemois, the parasha that he himself taught us with so many different ha'aras in the parasha of why Moshe Rabbeinu was chosen to be the manag of Klal Yisrael. And he learns through the parasha, and one of the big nakudas that he speaks about and he spoke about was the mida of noisa ba'olam chaveray, the mida of feeling with other people, noticing other people, thinking about other people, and feeling for them. About 12 years ago, a Yid in Eretz Yisrael, somebody who's known to the family, called up my brother-in-law who lives in Eretz Yisrael and told him the following story. So when he was a young bacher in Gated Yeshiva, he was in his dormitory room, he was packing up his suitcase and he was crying. My shver was walking down, was also a bacher, was walking down the hallway and heard a bacher crying. So he went into the room to see what's going on. Why is there a bacher crying? And the bacher said, and he said, "Boy, why are you crying?" And the bacher said, "My father really didn't let me go to yeshiva to begin with, but I begged and begged, and he allowed me to go to yeshiva for 1 year. And now my year is over, and I beg to stay, and he doesn't allow me to stay in yeshiva. I need to come home, and he wants to send me to college." So Meshver asked him, "Did you speak to the Rosh Yeshivas already? Ablay Blapyan, Ablay Guruitz, do they know about it?" So he said, "They know about it, and they tried to convince my father out of it, but he was adamant that this is the way it should be." So the best of us, what would we do? We would cry along with him, show him that we feel for him. My shver said, "I have an idea. Go home, go to college. The Mashgiach Ramosha Schwab says a shmuz once a week. I've never written his shmuz, but from now on, every week I'll write his shmuz down and I'll mail it to you. And like this, you'll be able to stay connected to the ruach of the yeshiva. You'll be able to steig, you'll be able to feel somewhat that you're still in yeshiva." And that's what he did for 3 years. He wrote every single week the shmuz, and he sent him in the mail the shmuz, and the seed said that he has a huge pile of the notes that the mashkiach sent him. He sent private letters also, being mechazik him to learn. He told him he should get 2 chavrusas, 1 shvacher, 1 weaker than him, 1 better than him. He gave him instructions of how he should stay connected to learning. And Hitaka, when he finished with his college, he went into chinuch, and his children and grandchildren are in Eretz Yisrael, Amabitei Torah. It wasn't just this time, but there were so many times that people were stuck, and the Eibishter gave him siyata deshmaya to come with some solution, how to get out of the problem. And it was a wonder. But the answer is very simple, that when a person feels the other person's pain as if it's their own, so they're in the same situation. Nobody likes to stay stuck. When you have a problem, a person works hard to find a solution. So if you feel somebody else's pain like it's your own. A person has the Siyata Deshmaya, and a person comes up with solutions. Another point that it was so noticeable was another thing which also was a wonder to everybody. He canceled thousands of people. The appointments were every free moment. In yeshiva, there were 5-minute appointments after davening every single day for an hour and plus. By night, from 11 till 2, and usually till 3, there were people, appointments, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, one after the next. Wherever he went, people stopped him. There were lines of people. Thursday, he spent in New York officially to rest. There was a whole official time of appointments. Hundreds and thousands of people asked him advice. And still, even if you just spoke to him once, if you met him a year or two, or sometimes even 3 years later, he remembered exactly the discussion, what your problem was, what the solution was, and you could have carried on the conversation as if you had it yesterday. How's that, Shaykh? Was he such a tremendous Baal Zakaran that he was able to store away thousands upon thousands of stories? And the Torah says again, nobody forgets their own matzavim. A person could go through thousands of difficult periods in their life and they'll remember everyone to the detail. So if a person feels the pain of others like it's his own, noisa ba'olam chaveiroi, mamish, as if it's your own pain, it's no wonder that you remember, it's no wonder that he remembered and was able to keep cheshbon of all the people's different problems. It's pashut that this was something that he developed slowly. The Avista of Nosson says, unlike the way we would think, that when is a person ready to give up his comfort, to give up his time, to give up his money for others, is when he reaches the level of ahava, of love for his friend. Zog the opposite of nothing, it goes the opposite way. When a person gives up from his time, he gives up from his comfort, he gives up from his money for others, that's when he develops a tremendous love for others. As the years went on, when my shver gave so much for others, it didn't matter what was going on, he was there for other people. He had a mahalach that he worked very, very difficult. He worked hard until he was close to collapsing. And when it got to that point, he went away for a few days. It happened once. He was on the verge of collapsing. And he decided he needs to get away. And he went up to the mountains, to the country. He would tell me that the way he knows how bad he is and how much rest he needs is how long he could concentrate on his learning when he gets to the country. But there was a time that he got there, mamish, he was on the verge of collapsing. And as he pulled up, he gets a phone call that there's a girl in Lakewood who's supposed to be finishing a shidduch tonight and can't get herself to finish the shidduch. And the only one who could convince her and hold her hand through it is the mashgiach. Gets back into the car and travels back to Lakewood and helps this girl and goes back to the country. This is just one small story. This happened many, many, many times. People have been coming and saying stories, story after story. Didn't have any time. And suddenly, he shows up at somebody's house who he knew needed chizuk, and he's parked there for 45 minutes. thousands of such stories. But the fact that he gave and gave and gave and gave and just continued giving for others created such a heart that became so big, so expanded, it was able to hold the whole world in it. His Ayin Toiva, he once said over, and Engage said, there was a difficult year and a lot of people were getting sick and people were being nifter. So he called together a group of Yungalite and he said, begged them that together they should start working on Ayin Toiva. Looking at people and seeing what good you could see in the person. Instead of being negative, see the positive in the person. He used to say a vad every morning before davening. And then after the vad, there was a specific person who was his job to drive him to yeshiva for shacharis. The person told me that there was one morning that my shver told him, I'm so depleted, I don't have an ounce of kayach. I'm so tzebrochen from the different stories that came to me last night. I can't go on anymore. I don't have the strength to walk to the car. It's a few steps. This young man helped him. He got him into the car. For those of you who know Lakewood, they drove down 6th Street to Lakewood Avenue, and they made a right on Lakewood Avenue, and another right on 7th Street. And as they're driving down the block, my shver points out to this younger man, he says, you see that younger man who's walking with his talis and tefillin, you see the simcha in his face that he's going to daven? And they drove a drop further, and he said, you see that younger man? You see the simcha that he has? And you know what's going on in yeshiva? There's younger light that are learning and davening, and you know how much amelis by Torah goes on? By the time they got down the block, it's not such a big block, he was a witness, he said that my shver literally danced out of the car and danced into yeshiva. That's the koyach of Ayin Toiva. So depleted, so tzebrochen from tzaras. But then looked to see good. He looked to see how much good was going on, how much chesed Hashem was giving, and how people were doing so many good things. And it energized him and it gave him so much koyach. He used to always tell us about being mavata, about giving in to other people. Whenever there was some sort of argument or politics or anything that may be, his rule was always to be mavata, always to give in. And he would say over that he heard from Rabshach, that Rabshach used to say these words, Nar ha'isi, I was young, v'gam zakanti, I became old, v'loi ra'isi mevater mafsid. I never saw a person who gave in, who lost. He would constantly say this, and he constantly acted that way. Simcha shal mitzvah, he was ain't shtik simcha, was just full of simcha sachayim. But the simcha of a mitzvah, when anybody went to any of the vadim, the geshmak that he put into a mitzvah, every yontif had countless mamorim, and he would say over a story that his father-in-law said over. His father-in-law, my mother-in-law's father, had a Judaica store in Manchester. And one day, a friar Yid, a Yid who didn't even keep Yom Kippur, came in and asked for a Mahudah de Gastric. So Mr. Falk, as he was called, asked him. He didn't look religious at all. So he started asking him, and it came apparent through the conversation that he didn't even keep Yom Kippur. He said, so why do you want a Mahudah de Gastric? And the man's response was, I can't get it out of my mind, the tremendous simcha that my father had when he got hold of a Mahudah de Gastric. I need to get a Mahudah de Gastric. And when he came home, he said over the story, and he said, could you imagine what this man would look like had his father shown such simcha of Shabbos, such simcha of a Yontif? Koyach HaTfila, they say over, his friends say over, that when he was a bacher, a young bacher, he couldn't beat him to Beis Medrash. He was always the first standing there with his talis and tefillin, preparing and davening slowly, brachas. But from when he got older, from when we knew him, the koyches that he put into davening, unbelievable kaiches, schwitz, an unbelievable kaiches, understanding davening, and helping others understand davening. But there was something special that he used to always tell us. He would say over from his Rebbe, Rebbe Elia, that even if a person davens properly with all his kaiches, if a person doesn't believe that the tefillah's help, he's missing a lot. He would say over the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara says that there were two people who were sick with the same sickness. There were two people who got in trouble with the government with the same problem. One got better, one was saved, and the other wasn't. And the Gemara asks, why was this one saved, this one wasn't? One davened and was answered, and one davened and wasn't answered. And the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, why was this one answered and this one unanswered? And then the Gemara says, this one was mispalel a tefila shleima, and this one wasn't mispalel a tefila shleima. And he would say over from Rabbi Elia, that what it means a tefila shleima means that he believed in the Koyach HaTfila. And I still remember him screaming in yeshiva, banging on the shtenda and saying, when we say Tehillim for a person, are we busy thinking about the Levaya? That's not the way to daven. We have to daven and know that the tefillahs work. I was once cleaning the drawers in a study with him, and I found two little bottles of wine. I asked him, what is this? Said, there was somebody in the mishpacha who had a tzara, and a mekubel sent him these two bottles of wine, that if the people that have the tzara are going to drink it, they'll be helped. So I said, so what are they still doing here? He said, I want to save it to show the world that I didn't listen. I davened, and the Yeshua came. My brother-in-law told me that somebody once suggested to him, also at a time of a tzara, from Rabbi Yankov Edelstein, a certain skula, to take a minion of people with a certain Eis Ratzon to a certain Makom Kaddish and daven. So my brother-in-law had the chinuch from my shver also, weren't big into skulas. But he said, you know, Koyach HaTfila we know, Eis Ratzon we know, Makom Kaddish we know, what could be wrong? So he went and he did it. And at a later time, he told my shver about it, and my shver pulled out from his drawer a letter that somebody wrote him with this exact skula. And he said, I knew about it, but I didn't do it. He wanted to teach us tefillah, kayach of tefillah. A person kadaven, Hashem's waiting for tefillahs. A person kadaven, and the Eibush answers our tefillahs. We have to believe in our tefillahs. Many people got up at that stadium and said that when you spoke to Mashver, everybody would have thought that he had an easy life. He was so calm and so happy and so relaxed. And you would talk to him about this problem, and he would say, I went through it. About this problem, I went through it. This problem, I went through it. Yodua, everybody knows that he lost his father when he was young. He went through many other difficulties. But he pushed on. My brother-in-law, one of the younger ones, said over, the youngest son, that when he was 15 or 16, he was a masifta, and something wasn't going the way he wanted to. So he complained to Mashver. Mashver told him, you should know that most of what I want to do, I don't end up accomplishing. I don't get there for many reasons, various reasons of different things. But still, ask around in the street, you'll hear that I'm a ish matzliach. Why am I matzliach if I don't accomplish what I want to? Because I don't get down about it. This is what he said. Kept on going. He realized the goal. He realized his shlichus, and didn't let anything stop him. There was no difficulties that held him down, whether when he was younger, up to the point. It's worth mentioning what the situation was in those days. And when his father was nifter, he was 16 years old. The old gates of the Rav told his mother to make sure that they write on the other side of the matzeva, they write his father's name in English. Because who knows if the children, and for sure the grandchildren, if they'll be able to read Lashon Kodesh. That was the situation. There was nothing pushing him, nobody forcing him to become what he became. But he didn't take no for an answer. He had a goal, and he wanted to be Mekayim his tafkid, and he pushed and pushed and pushed. He davened, and had his midas tovus, was always careful, very careful not to hurt people's feelings. Oiske cheshbin, di cheshbin, everything always, never that somebody should be uncomfortable. He was once walking in Rockefeller Park on a Friday to get some fresh air, and suddenly he turned around and the person walking with him asked him what happened. He noticed further down that there was some bachurim playing. That if they're going to see me, they're going to stop playing, they'll feel uncomfortable. He constantly thought about others. But his whole life, the avedas amidas. I'll end with a verse from the Zayim LaTayra in Parashas, the end of Parashas Balak. We know Klal Yisrael fell in the Avodah Zarah, they fell in Arayis, and there was a terrible Magefa. Thousands of Yidden fell by Magefa until Pinchas came, Vayakam Itaycha Eda, and Pinchas was Maisei Nefesh and killed Zimri and Cosby, Vatiyotara Magefa. And then the Magefa stopped. What Kayach did Pinchas have? What did he do? The Magefa didn't stop, and didn't stop Klai Yisrael from doing Averis. What happened when Pinchas got up And does Daim Latayra, the Lutzke Rav says, Amayri de Gepshat. Says, Klal Yisrael wasn't far off from Matan Torah when every nation declined to accept the Torah and they said it's too difficult for us. Klal Yisrael was the first nation that came forth and said, Nasa Venishma. Klal Yisrael began to have second thoughts. Klal Yisrael began to see the Goyim were right. The Umas HaOlam are right. Torah is too difficult. Look what's going on. Thousands upon thousands of people are falling like flies. They can't keep up to the Nisyonos. They can't overcome the difficulties. The Malachim were right. Torah belongs in Shemayim. Until Pinchas came forth. And Pinchas entered the oil. The Makom HaNisayon. And not only he wasn't Nichshol, but he was misgaber, he became stronger, and he got up, and he was moisen nefesh, he thought he was going to die. If you make any calculation, all the medrash, Targum Yonasan, all the nisim, that he wasn't killed by the Yidden, he should have gotten killed. When he did that act, he showed Klal Yisrael they were wrong. He showed Klal Yisrael what a Yid could do. A Yid has the power to be misgaber on the nisyonos. I think, I don't know how many people could achieve and reach the madrigas that my shver had Siyata Deshmaya to get to. But he most definitely showed us, he started off a regular person, he would tell us constantly that Gedolim are not born Gedolim. They start off regular people with regular difficulties and regular nesyonos like we spoke. But they persevere, and they daven, and they learn Musa, and they have Midas Tavis, and the Amal B'Torah, and the Matzliach, and look what became. The Eivishter should help, that we should all be able to be Nesayr, and grow each one in our ways. Yehi Zichrei Baruch.
Our other speaker is a Talmud of the Mashgiach. He actually felt the Mashgiach was part of his life, part of his chizuk. In Avodas Hashem, Harav Baruch Dalia Heinemann.
Bishus Rabbi Mary Shlita, Rabbanim, Kala Kala Kodesh Hazeh. Before I say what I would like to say, I want to make akdama that no having been of chas v'shalom making a hesped or being metayer or being mayrich or evaluating or touching up the mashkiach, who he was, his madregas, his yerushamayim, his chesed, his nesem ha'ol, it's not shayach to be able to even see what he was. All the tzaddikim are master everything they do. And the little bit that we do see is just a little bit at a main of what their avodah really is. And even to that little to see and touch it up properly, you have to be a gadol to touch up a gadol. So I just want to say over the v'zichronis thing that as a l'fi erki, l'fi arkenu of the talmidim, that we saw that maybe a Mesa Shem will be a chizik for other people to learn from too. Gemara Bracha says, Agud despated Luya, Rashi says it means to be Meirim Koil, to arouse people to Bechi. But the other Mepharshim learn that the Luya is Lashon of Dailu Mashke, become Dolo Dolo Lonu, to draw, to shep. Agud despated, the Schar for Hesped, is how much a person can draw from the Hesped for himself to grow and to become great. By learning from the ways of the Nifter. The Gemara brings down that when Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Nifter, they were masped him B'yoyim Uvalayla for 30 days straight. And after 30 days, it says that they're either masped him B'yoyim and they learned by night, or they learned B'yoyim and they masped him by night for a full year. And then on the day of the Yahrzeit, a Basko came out and said, like the Rav mentioned before, Avimar Shlita, he said, called the Havabashkata the Rebbe, Mezumin Chayel Amaba. And Taisa says, Mezumin means Mamash ready, below Yidin or below Yisurim. A regular person, to get the Amaba, he has to have a shtickle cleansing process to be able to make it there, get rid of his Averis, but whoever's Vashkata the Rebbe, they had such, or their Barakala's Mazbe, the Pshat and the Gemara, that they had such a Cyrus from learning from his ways, from their Spadim, and they took care of, they changed, they did tshuva, they changed their ways, and they were Mezumin without any other preparation, without any din, without any yisurim. Like Taisa said, they're Mezumin to call Chayel Mabba. The first thing I want to mention is that when you have a Gadol, we're living on Alei Adamais on the world, we have to realize that every single person in the world is Nana from him being here, whether they knew him or they didn't know him. Rav Matisyahu said over in Parsha Shmois that the Pasuk says, Vayi kol nefesh yoytzei yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh v'yosef hayu b'mitzrayim. So he asked that the Pasuk mentions this before in the Parsha Vayigash, it says, kol nefesh lebeis Yaakov abo mitzrayim b'shivim. He already said that the nefesh lebeis Yaakov who came to Mitzrayim was 70. And here it says, so he asks, why is it a difference in the Lashon that before it says Kol Nefesh LeBeis Yaakov, and in Parashat Shmos it says Yoytzei Yerech Yaakov Shivim Nefesh, and here the pasuk Shmos of Yosef Hayu B'Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. And Rashi asks, we knew that already. He was from the Mitzvah of the Shivim. And Rashi says a pshat, but Rav Matisyahu types up pshat like this: the pasuk in Shmos is explaining, how was it that Klal Yisrael were able to exist in the Medina of Shtufei Zima? It says the Mitzrayim were Shtufei Zima, and Klal Yisrael were Gedurim Ba'arayis, it says. They were Gedurim Ba'arayis the whole time. And even though they fell in after Shaitum, but they were Gedurim Ba'arayis. Where did they get the Kayach that they should be able to withstand 210 years in a nation of Shtufei Zima and be Gedurim, and be Godur? And he said, that's what the pasuk is telling you. That these children who came down to Mitzrayim were the Yoytzei Yerech Yaakov. And he tells to the Rashi in Parshat Vayechi that it says by Reuven was Koichi Vereshus Aini. Rashi says it was a special Katusha and Yaakov and his children and how he had children. And the Pasuk is telling us, Dr. Matisyahu, that all these people that came down, they were born with that Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu. And another reason why they're able to withstand is Yosef Hayim Mitzrayim. Yosef was, in the Nisayan of Eishes Beitifar, which is a very big Nisayan. A very big, she was a mamash, tried very hard to be machshel him. And he, the whole Koichai, he was Oymin ben Nisayan. And he created, with his Amida ben Nisayan, a Ruach and a Koyach, that the whole Klai Yisrael should be able to have an easy time with the Nisayan, even though there's a Yetzahara Farayas, but for Yosef Hayim B'Mitzrayim, Yosef was Oymen Ben Nisayin, that gave Kayasol Koyach. So to be able to be Oymen Ben Nisayin. So he said, that's the Pshat on the Pasuk. The Yoytzeyech Yaakov B'Shivim Nefesh V'Yosef Hayim B'Mitzrayim, and these two ingredients, that they were born to Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and he was Oymen Ben Nisayin, that's how they were able to withstand the Nisayinus 210 years living in the Ummah of Shtufei Zima and not be Nechshol. Everyone knows that this is part everyone knows. Not everyone knew in Rav Matisyahu, but everyone knew that he made a tremendous melchama against the Yetzer of the Dar of technology, the internet, and other forms of that Nisayan. He was Mamash Moise Nefesh. He said over in the Chafetz Chaim that when the Russians were drafting all the Yidden and making them communist and making them fry, the Chafetz Chaim wanted to go himself, with a few people maybe, and fight the Russian army himself, like Matisyahu did. Bimei Chanukah, he went to fight the Greek army. And the Chavetz Chaim said, Emes, Volangafalim Karbonos, people would have been nifter, but at least the Koyach of the Sultan would be Nechlash, and it would be Kedai, the Mesirat Nefesh, for that. And Rabbi Tashil said over, that Rabbi Chaim Oizer didn't let the Chavetz Chaim go fight the Russian army, he was mamish ready to go fight himself. And in the end of his life, when the Chavetz Chaim saw the churban that took place in Russia, they made the whole dar fry, the mamish maver, the whole ummah from Derech Hashem, he had harata that they didn't argue with Reb Chaim Oizer. When he saw the churban that came out, he had the harata that he just took it, and he didn't read adoch them or argue with him that they should go be Moshe Nefesh and fight the Russian army. So Matasyo said this over, and he said, that the Satan has many, many ways how he presents himself. He's mischadish b'chol yom, a different leifanim. The same Satan that tried to take away Klal Yisrael in Russia, he has a new tactic now, and it's called taking away the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael to a different leifanim, making the whole world run on the internet, which you have to have to run a business, everything like that. And he said that you have to fight the Satan, and even though he seemed to have known, and his son said over by Levaya, that he asked his wife, Rishus, if he could fight this Mechama, because he knew he would be Tzoyis from it. It wouldn't be simple. And he went to Chol Koichai, with the Mitzvah Nefesh, Itaka got sick, and other things happened, to fight the Satan, and to be Matzul, the Kedushas Klal Yisrael. We have to realize that we're living in America today, which is shut off with technology. The whole world runs on the internet and smartphones, and every normal person, every normal mensch, if you call them normal, they all have a certain mahal chachayim. And the only way Klal Yisrael are gedurim in this inyan is because of Yosef Hayyim in Mitzrayim. We have the schus. To have such a gadol, who's Moshe Nefesh in this Nisayan, Mamish Moshe Nefesh, and that gave a koyach in the Aver, whoever wanted to be shayef from that Aver, to be able to buy the Nisayan, and Baruch Hashem in Yeshivas. Machma says, Muhammad, there's many yeshivas don't have smartphones. I remember in Lakewood when he got up, and he said that the Konasai Yeshiva, no bracha yingaman, is allowed to walk into the Beis Medrash with a cell phone that's on. Not vibrate on. It can't be mismeasured with the cell phone that's on. And he said, if someone mamish has an emergency, he has to be able to be contacted. Mamish, a matzav of an emergency, he shouldn't come to the yeshiva. He should stay home, find the shul to learn it. He should not come in. He's so stark. He's so stark. He fought this Mocham Imud of Bnei Torah. And he was Moshe Nefesh, and it affected him in many ways. Where's Zaycha? We are all Oymid bin Nisayan. Everyone, Bedaga Delay, it's all thanks to him. And it's also because Yitzhak Hayyib bin Mitzrayim, that Ashpa, that gives us the Koyach to be Oymid in the sign of this Dar. And even in the end, when the Matashil was very sick, and he wasn't giving shmuzin, and he wasn't giving vada, and he wasn't meeting people, and he wasn't even going to yeshiva anymore, the Matzil himself said this part once, that the Gemara says, by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the lush of the Gemara is, that when he was nifted, it says, Natschu Erelim es Metzukim. The Erelim is the Malachim, the Metzukim, Rashi says, is the Tzadikim, Metzukei Eretz. And they were fighting. The Malachim wanted Rabbeinu HaKadosh in Shemayim with them, and the Tzadikim, Eretz, Klal Yisrael is davening, that he should have a refuah and be staying on this world. And when he was nifted, the lush of the Gemara is, Notzchu Erelim es Metzukim v'noshvar en HaKadosh. The Malachim won the Tzadikei Eretz, and the Aron HaKadosh was captured and taken to Shemayim. So Rav Matasyo asked, why does he noshvar Aron HaKadosh? It just says, v'noshvar Sefer HaTorah. Aron HaKadosh is where the Luchos are inside of. But if you want to say that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was with Nifter, so he should say, Noshva Sefer HaTorah, why the Aron HaKadosh? He said over from Rav Hutner, that there's a chiluk between the Aron and all the Klei HaMikdash. Every keli in the Mikdash has a Hashtamshas. There's Be'ech HaChitzim, Be'ech HaBanason, there's Be'ech HaKetairis, there's Ketairis, the Menorah, the Shulchan, everything had some sort of avoid that took place with that keli. Mashenkin, the Aron HaKadosh was sitting in the In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was no special avodah that was done with the Arayin. It just sat there, but even though there was no avodah, the entire hashpah of Kedusha to the Mikdash and to the whole world came through the Kodesh HaKadoshim, through the Arayin. Mibein Shnei HaKruvim. So he said that sometimes you have a Talmud Chacham, even if he's not having any special avodah, he's not saying shmuzni, he's not meeting people, and he's not saying shiurim, but he's Noshva Arayin HaKodesh, the whole hashpah of the whole world, comes from the fact that he's Alei Adam, that he's Pashut, the fact that he's in this world, just this deal with no special avodah taking place around him, that alone is the Makar of Kedusha for the Mikdash and for the whole world. And that's Shem Noshva Arayin HaKodesh. That even besides what the learning did, the etzem fact, the etzem chepta of the gadol on this world brings the Kedusha to the whole Klal Yisrael. We talk about the Mashkiach. First, everyone knows his friend is Matzliach, and Mashkiach, and Matzliach in a tremendous oifen. What he did, he was malad and changed the whole Olam HaTorah and the whole world. But not everyone knows that his Amelus HaTorah when he was younger, I mean if he was older also, but he told me once that his entire life when he was younger, he thought he was becoming a Rosh Hashiva. When he's a Bacher, when he's a young man, he never had a Havin of becoming a Mashkiach. And he learned everything with the Das, that he's a Met Hashem, going to become a Rashiv and say Shiurim. They say his Becha Shmuel from Baruch Be'er was mamish, totally rubbed out, and the pages were disattached from the spine. He used almost so much in Baruch Be'er's Torah. And he worked and worked in Torah, and even though he didn't have the opportunity, Lamaisa, how Hashem stole back his life, he wasn't saying Shiurim and Gemara so much, but he was still able to see and all the varim that he gave, and all the shmuzim that he gave, his amelus b'toyer in everything that he said. Everything he got with the machalkes rishayin and what the makar is, he didn't stop say shmuzim. A lot of the shmuzim yeshiva were like a series of many, many weeks. He built up a whole inyan, mamish from the aschol of the sugya, like he built the whole sugya, with the lumdus, with a tremendous amelus. And then all his vadim, and all his shiurim, you could see how much amelus he put in. And from that was neveya, his godless, pashtus. And of course I'm saying Lefierke, who knows, I'm not taught to teach up, and I'm not trying to teach up, just, we saw that, we saw the amelus that was in everything that he said. As his Vedan mentioned, that one of the big avoidas in his life was the avoid of Alach to Bedrochav. He has a whole sefer that he wrote on going in the Drochum of Hashem. There's a tremendous avoid by him, Alach to Bedrochav. And the Sefer Tamei Devaira, which speaks about Darkei Hashem, the Lashon of Reb Chaim Volozhin, is less machshava, tfisa beklal. We have no machshava. We don't have the brains to be able to be taifas anything about the Ribono Shel Olam. But we do see anhagais. We could see how Hashem has anhagais. And the midas of Hashem, the Yud Gamal midas Shorachemim, and the Sefer Tamei Devaira goes through the pasuk in Micha, which is the Rebbe Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu Hashem Hashem Karachem Echanan, and these are Yud Gimel Mil Shorachemim, and in Micha it says in a different format, but it's Mikel Kamaycha, and I say Avram Apesha, and it goes through the midst of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And the Matasyo had a tremendous avoid in his life to with an amazing gedolah, to learn the Darkei Hashem, not just in the Sefer Tamei Devaira, which he wrote a whole Sefer on, gave Vadim on it, but in everything he learned, every 47 Chumash, and in every parashah of the Avos, and in Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and everything, he always was learning what is the Ratzon Hashem, and what's the Derech of Hashem. And he followed that. As his Eidim mentioned, he had a tremendous Avodah in Leishabam Chaveiroi, which the Talmud Devar says comes from the Midah of L'Sheiris Nachalosai. L'Sheiris is Lashon of She'er, a relative. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam considers Klal Yisrael She'evis Nachalosai, they're relatives that they're his Nachala. The Bnei Yisrael Am Karevai, Klal Yisrael is Karevai the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He said Mi Hashem Elokeinu, Mi Great God Hashem Elokim Karevim Elav, means that he's a Karev to us, he's like a relative. And the Matasyo had a tremendous avoda in following the Darkei Hashem, and he had tremendous in Sias Oil, like someone has with a relative, like his Eidim mentioned. Every Yid Tzara was his own Tzara, just like a relative, a person's child is Nebuchadnezzar, he feels it Mamish himself. So Matasyo was Hoylich B'Darkei Hashem in the L'Sheiris Nachalosai, that everyone was like a relative to him. Many Maisim that some of them are bavust already, I just want to repeat on one or two of them. When I was in yeshiva, the Matasso used to go home every year for Pesach. When he came to Lakewood, he kept his house in London, in Gateshead. And Pesach, he went back to Gateshead. He had an ishpacha there, his sons lived there, his daughter there. And he went back there. And he still had a lot of people that he was in contact with there, a lot of meisters. He was madrich them. He had a very big shachis still. When he came to Lakewood, he still kept a very close shachis with Gates. And he went back every year for Pesach. One year, he said he's staying in Lakewood. What happened? There was a fresh almana in Lakewood who was related to his brother, I think, as one of his brothers. And he couldn't figure out where she could go for Pesach with her children and she should feel comfortable for the Siddurim. He told his Rebbetzin, we'll stay for Pesach and we'll have them for Pesach. So they had to buy new dishes and new appliances. So they had to pay for the children to come from England because they were waiting a whole year to come. But there's a lady in Almana who can't find a place that he thinks she'll feel comfortable for. He changed his whole plans and all the people that are waiting for him. But the tzar of that Almana, sitting by a Seder with her children, without her husband, he just couldn't bear it. He changed his whole plans. I heard from his Gabbai, Ramat Chai Levi, his Gabbai Neman, Emes Gabbai Neman. He told me the following story. And on Purim, one year, I mean every year, Ramat Chai used to go visit Chaylim, the Mechazik, them on Purim. So one Purim morning, he told him to go to a certain Chayla, a Rebbe, who had Yana Machla. He said they came into the house and the chayla was there on the couch, bent over. There was no hair, no beard. And all the kids were there in the house and his wife was trying to make a shtickle Simchas Purim. It was very sad, massive. He was so shvach, he couldn't pick up his head, couldn't hold up his head. And she was making polka dots on the kids' the costumes. She was trying to make a shtickle massive. And Matsyo walked in. He started singing La'idim Maisa Aira. He took the kids by the hand, dancing around the table with them, the Gevalik HaSimcha, and the young man got swept into the Simcha and stood up and started dancing with them. And his wife was taking pictures. It's Gevalik. The simcha on his face was like contagious. The imam lightened up the whole, he made a simcha in the mishpacha. And he gave the chayla a bracha, and the Hashem should wrap him before shleima, should go back to being a Rebbe. And Baruch Hashem was in the sky, and he had her before shleima. And he left and went down to the car. And Ramat Chai Levi told him he got into the car, he started crying. Mamash crying. Nebuch. I'm sorry, yes. I'm assuming, yes. Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Nebuchadnezzar's mishpacha, what they're going through. He's crying in the car. And then he says, wait, I'm sure it's Purim. I'm ruining your Purim. He's sitting in the car with a mashkech who's crying. Please be merciful me. He's thinking about this person, about that person. And while he's thinking about that person, he's being stopped from the tzar. He's thinking about the one who drove him, his Gabbai, and he's being Messiah, his Purim. This is how he was, thinking of being Mishtata with everyone, Naisulam Chaver, with every single person. So you do it to Kamaisa, that his next to neighbors, of Shimon Epstein, aggressive Talmud Chacham, who happens to have a meat store, but his big Talmud Chacham, and the families are very, very close. And right before one of the Solomon girls got married, Reb Shimon Epstein, the father, was Nifta, and they were in Avelis. And I'm about to show, sent over the caterer to the house, rolled in round tables, put on tablecloths, glasses with napkins, and he told them to set up the whole table there in the house for the Avelim, in their own house. And then they said they're going to come back when they were with the Suda, and they came back with pictures from the Chasna that someone ran to print out after the Chuppah, before the Suda, during that little bit of time. He's making a Chasna, the whole world coming to this Chasna, he's thinking about what he can do to alleviate the tsar of the next neighbor Avelim, who would so much want to be part of the Chasna. Kaseida, think about other people in such a way. Tzidua, that he made a takon in Lakewood. Lakewood's behind her, a very big city. There's a lot of people there. Not so easy to get into schools in Lakewood. And there was a lot of girls that didn't get into the schools that they wanted to get into. And Matashow called together all the Manalim. And he said, not one Maisid of girls is allowed to open up until every single girl in Lakewood is in the Maisid. And he had a Rishima, he had a list of all the girls. And he divided up, you take these three girls, and you should take these girls, and this girl's good for your Maisid. And he said, until every single girl is taken, not one Maisid has just opened up. And Kachavin, they didn't open up right away. Sometimes it was 3 days, or maybe even more, until they're able to place every single girl. And the entire Lakewood had to wait until that last girl got into Maisid. That was his Maisid Baham Chaveray. His Gabbai, Ramat Chaliba, told me another interesting story. Ramat Chaliba was so ashamed Shemayim that he didn't have any agenda to do anything. He was always like questioning, is this the Ratzon Hashem or not? Of course, he knew the Ratzon Hashem was certain things, but even while he was doing the Ratzon Hashem, he was always claiming, is this the Ratzon Hashem or not the Ratzon Hashem? I just remember one, this is not from the Gabbai, I just remember the story that he once called in three Bachrim on Erev Shchayish El, Timat and Neder. He said that he's all his years, he always fasted Erev Shchayish El on Yom Kippur Katan. And this year, he's not feeling well, and he has some appointments. He made up to speak to certain people in the afternoon. And he said that he doesn't have the koyach, if he's fasting, to speak to these people. So either he has to lie down, or he could eat. And he figured that these poor people, they're waiting to speak to him and have a whole kind of thirst on their heart. He said it would be matan neder to eat, even though his whole life he was Erev Shchayish El, was a big avoid. He gave a shmuz then, it was a big avoid of him. The knisa to El was a very big thing. But he was matan neder. Today that wasn't the Ratzon Hashem for him to fast. I remember also another unbelievable maisa. He gave shmuz in yeshiva learning musar. Weeks and weeks and weeks. He can't become a bentayr if you don't learn musar. Mamish, he was so stark about it. And it was vital. Like everything was built up, but he was very, very stark. Because the Yigmana came over to him and said, no, I have nine or five sons under the age of 10. And my wife, she's a tzaddikis, but she wants me to learn Torah. She's happy to learn Torah, but when I come home, she's on a bare thread. She's losing it. She can't hold, she's holding on for dear life till I come home and help her out with the kids, with the supper and with the homework. He said, I don't go to Musa Seder because I know that she's a Platzi. But if the Mashkiach says, you can't become a Bentayr, which is what he was saying, you cannot become a real Bentayr without learning Musa, I want to become a Bentayr, and my wife wants me to be a Bentayr, so should I come? And Matasio said to him, that's learning Musa by you? That your wife is Platzing, and you're learning Mesil Sisharim, while she's Platzing away? That's called Musa by you. It's also for you to come to Musa Seder that time. You have to learn another time to learn Musa. You have to learn Musa, but not at that time. He's in the middle of being mechadik, the whole yeshiva, that you can't not learn Musa, you can't become Ben Torah. And he tells him that he always cheshmed everything, what the right thing to do at that time was. He didn't go with what this is his agenda, Musa Seder, and therefore everyone has to learn. It depends on every single person, it's different cheshmed. So Mat Chalivi told me that one time he was driving the Mashkiach home, and as he came down the back of the yeshiva, there was a lady who had dropped off her husband by the yeshiva, and she went further down the block to turn around, not to turn around in front of the yeshiva. Anyway, he was right behind her, and she was trying to turn around, and the Mat Chalivi said, you know, the Mashkiach's in the car, I'm not going to zoom around the lady, you know, I'm not going to do that, it's not nice, I'll have patience, I'll wait for her. And the Mashkiach said to him, go quicker, go around her, while she was like turned sideways. He said, just go around her. So he was a little surprised, like, you know, he said, why does the Mashkiach say that? He said, do you know how uncomfortable it is for a lady to be trying to turn around a car when she doesn't know how to drive too well and the Mashkiach's watching her? You know what kind of a tzad, you know what kind of embarrassment it is? Go around her and let her back up the way she, let her have her privacy when she's turning around. He's always thinking every step of the way, what about other people? Mamish. Matashil had a merdik pshat in the Memchas Kinyan HaTorah. One of them is Ein Machzik Tzei V'Latzma, like the Mishnah says. Melamadat HaTorah Harbe Al Tachzik Tzei V'Latzmacha. Matashil said the pshat is, if you're Zeichet to a Tzeiva, don't hold it for yourself. It doesn't mean don't pat yourself on the back, don't be Machzik Tzeiva, that you're something special. It means don't be Machzik The table atmcha. Don't be selfish with it and hold it for yourself. Give it to other people also. Matisho was someone who everything he had was hefker. Everything. His time was hefker, his life was hefker, everything he had was hefker. I remember once after Avad, he gave Adam the whole time, and one time after Avad started at 11 o'clock, it was over quarter to 12. After the Avad, so the Adam was in, Ramatio walked out, and Adam was schmoozing, you know, and after like 15 minutes, the Rebbe walked in and says, excuse me, you know, this is the house over here. We have to close up, you know. It was such a hefker felt by him, that people had forgotten that it's not a house. That's all the yeshiva dining room, whatever. It was a matzav of nothing was la'atzmoy. I remember when Rav David Goldberg, the yeshiva of Tells, put out a sefer on time of Devira, and he sent it to the Mashkiach for Askama. And the Mashkiach had all his ksavim printed up on his own sefer for time of Devira, Matnas Chayim. And he asked him, maybe you want to print it with your sefer. He figured the Mechazek Yingoman, that if he prints him out, this old Shmuzin and Vazin that he gave on the time of the Torah with his own sefer, maybe it will make it more popular. He gave away his whole Torah, so it wasn't Machlik Teva L'Atzmai. He gave it away, Mamish, for B'chuvas Chayim. So Matzio said over that, we say, Al HaTzadikim V'Al HaChasidim Al Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael. You could say, Al HaTzadikim Amcha Beis Yisrael, V'Al HaChasidim Amcha Beis Yisrael, V'Al Zikni. It doesn't say that. It says, Al HaTzadikim V'Al HaChasidim Al Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael. So there's a Canaan, the Gedeum of Klai Yisrael, the way he types them up is Zikne Amcha Beis Yisrael. A person could be a private tzaddik, could be a private chassid, but the Zikane of Klai Yisrael are Zikne Amcha Beis Yisrael. They are the Zikane, they belong to everything they have. They're just a chelik of Klai Yisrael. They have nothing for themselves. Everything they have is hefka for everyone else. And one of the biggest sidus that he said, I mean, this hefkeirus of his, when the Eidim mentioned already, that everyone felt the achva with him, his midah of L'sheiris Nachalosai, that he's a share with everybody. He said this many, many times from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Rabbi Yaakov Avinu came to the Rayim when he was coming to light, to Lavan. He said, Achai me'ayin atem. They said, M'charon ha'nachmu. He said, it's not the time to bring in the sheep yet. Well, he said, if it's a mikneh, you go out and give them let them pasture. He gave them a musr. So they said to him, no, you know, we're waiting here, we can't pull off the stone because we have the other rhyme, it's too heavy. They answered him, explained to him why they were sitting around. So Matisyo said, some stranger comes over to him, starts giving them musr and saying, why are you sitting around? You're supposed to be doing your work. They should have said, mind your own business. Who are you anyway? You don't even know who we are. Well, no, but they answered him, we have to wait, actually, also call Adar. How did he get them? What did he say to them that made them be so receptive to his musr? And he said for Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, they said, Achai Mayayin Atem. My brothers. He started off with Akdoma that I'm not here against you, I'm your brother, I'm concerned for you. He says in the Mishnah in Tainis that the Zokin, but on the Yemet Tainis, the Zokin said, Zivik Kavushim. The words that capture the hearts of the people. And he said, Achenu, Vaynerabanche Ninveh, doesn't say that Hashem saw that they were fasting or their sackcloth, but it says, they were Shavim Midakom Arah, they changed their ways. So Matisho typed up that the Dibbe Kivushim is not the Shmuz Shabbai. The Dibbe Kivushim was the word Achenu. The first word that the Zakin said was Achenu Loinemer Banche Ninveh, our brother. And this is something that he had such a brother kite with everybody, and it's hard to know how he had such a tzlacha, but definitely everyone in Yeshiva felt as hard as he gave Musar, but there's always the Achai there, there's always the concern, the Bnei Yisalam Kareva, he always felt that he was Karev. So I heard a story from the name of his sister that there was a father from Lakewood who came to Matisyo and said his son wants to get an electric scooter and he doesn't want to pay for it. It's expensive and also it's dangerous. He doesn't want his son driving an electric scooter. It's dangerous and he doesn't want it. Would the Mashkiach, he wants it very badly. Would the Mashkiach please speak to him? So the Mashkiach said, you can send it to me. Yeah, I'll speak to him. So the little boy came, he's under bar mitzvah. Meshkiach said to him, Shalom Aleichem, what's your name? Where do you learn? Who's your Rebbe? Smoothed him a little bit. And then he said to him, you want to get a scooter? He said, yeah, all my friends have scooters, I want to get one also. So Matthew said, where are you going to use a scooter? He said, I know my father's concerned, I'm only going to use it in a safe place. I'm going to go in an empty parking lot, only place with no cars, I'm going to be very careful. So at the end of the conversation, Rav Matzio said to him, go tell your father that the Mashkiach said he could buy you a scooter. The kid goes home, tells his father, Ramatha Show said he could buy me a scooter. The father comes running back to Ramatha Show. What happened? I want you to tell me you shouldn't get the scooter. What happened? So Ramatha Show said, this is the first time that your son's coming to speak to Eitzah from a god, Adam Gadol. You send your son, discuss with Ramatha Show, see what he says. He said, I want to make sure that your son has a feeling that when I speak to a Gadol, he understands me and he's listening to me and he wants my taiva. And he'll come back again to ask a shayla later on. I don't want his first encounter with a Gadol. He said, I checked it out with him. He's going to be safe. He knows your concerns. And I trust that he's going to be talking careful about it. I don't want that he should get a feeling, even in the encounter with the Gadol who was an Achai, that he should feel the Gadolim are his brothers. And he can come back and comfortable and ask an Eitzah enough to be worried that they're already going to tell you whatever they're going to think, they're going to hear what you're saying and they're going to think what's best for you. Other famous story that's going around now, maybe some people didn't hear it, Kedai, that a boy came over to him with a ticket, the Ramatha Show's tremendous avoda with the light in being mala them in every zman. I just got to mention this. He gave Adam before every, and Aiden mentioned this, before every Yom Tif, he pushed it, like Rav Chaskel says, that Zuiz Maktimim L'mitzvahs, it doesn't mean only that they come early, like Avram Levine, Vayashkev, Avram Abayker, he got up early in the morning, Zuiz Maktimim L'mitzvahs. Rav Chaskel says, Zuiz Maktimim L'mitzvahs means that a Zoriz makes an Akdamah to his mitzvahs. He doesn't bump into his mitzvah. He doesn't wake up, oh, today it's Pesach. Oh, today it's Rosh Hashanah. Oh, yeah, it's Rosh Hashanah. He's makdim. He's makdim. As someone's a zaris, he's makdim l'mitzvahs. He makes akdam and he prepares for it. Ramatha Show prepared everyone in yeshiva and yigalait for every single yomtiv to give a whole new time to the yomtiv and the whole new understanding of the tefillahs and the whole what this man has and what the void of this man is and what the schools of this man are and how much he can get from the yomtiv and then the whole glick from the yomtiv. It was unbelievable. It was a different yomtiv. And so from that was Neveyah, that when someone tried to make a circus on Chol HaMoed, he spoke very stark in yeshiva against it. It's not appropriate for Chol HaMoed to go to a circus, which Be'etzim is really not such a tznistic entertainment. But they made it kosher, but he said it's not appropriate for Yontif. So a boy came over to him, a 9-year-old boy, and said, I have a ticket. My grandmother bought me a ticket. Can I go? So he said, I had a ticket already. He said, it's not an appropriate thing to go to Chol HaMoed. Should I give it to my friend, the ticket? He said, is he from? He said, yeah. He said, no, don't give it to me either. What should I do with it? He said, put it in the garbage. Okay. Then he said to him, so are you going to do it? He said, yeah. He said, are we going to still be friends? So the boy said, yeah. 4 years later, by the Sfachas Bar Mitzvah, Ramatha Show walked into the Kiddush on Shabbos. He had nothing to do with the Ramatha Show. He didn't know his name even. He walks into the Kiddush and the father says to Ramatha Show, he says, what's he doing here? Ramatha Show, what's he coming? He walked up to the father and said, can I say a few words? Gave Mazel Tov, gave Bachar Mitzvah Mazel Tov. He said over the story and he said that I asked the Bachar when he walked, this boy, are you going to still be friends? And he said, yes. He said, I'm here to say Mazel Tov to my friend. I'm here to say Mazel Tov to my friend. This is the Achai that he had with every single 9-year-old boy, one encounter. And he's able through that to have such a hashpa on everyone. That even with a few words, everyone felt this, as stark as he was as a mashkiach, and the mechamis that he was leichem, and he was very, very stark, b'shem Hashem, but always you felt the achai in the middle of it. So, just want to end off that, as we mentioned, the Aschol, like the Rav, the Avi Meir Shlita mentioned, that Ikar of the Tainus is, the Ikar of the Hesped, is that a person should be the Luya, to be Doyla, if we'll be Mechazik ourselves, Amelus Betayra, Malach to Bedrachav, thinking about other people, Reis Am Kraivai, thinking every time what the Ratzon Hashem is, and being Mechazik everyone, then it'll be a Schus for us, and it'll be Schus for the Mashkiach, Yitzchak Baruch. Thank you.